Hi, you're listening to Talking About Organizations, a podcast about management and organization studies brought to you with the support of the Icon Research Center at the University of Warwick. To find out more, get the readings, and for future episodes, please go to our website at www.talkingaboutorganizations.com. This is a summary of episode 27. My name is Tom, and I'm podcasting from Carlisle, Pennsylvania, in the United States. Joining me for this episode were my fellow podcasters, Demetrius from the UK and Ella from Sydney, Australia. And also, we had our very special guest, Andrew Pettigrew, who is the Professor of Strategy and Organization at the Said Business School at the University of Oxford. He is also the founder for the Center of Corporate Strategy and Change at Warwick Business School. Following along with our theme for Season 3, Dr. Pettigrew was the author of yet another classic article from the Journal of Management Studies. The article was Context and Action in the Transformation of the Firm, and was published in 1987. During the episode, we discussed the importance of the article as both a groundbreaking study in organizational change and leadership, and as a foundational work leading to a whole new literature stream on process scholarship. First, some background on the paper. In it, Andrew summarized key elements of his larger work published in 1985, titled The Awakening Giant, Continuity and Change in Imperial Chemical Industries, also known in the book and in the article as ICI. Both the book and the JMS article that followed addressed Andrew's longitudinal research into the evolution of strategies, culture, and change in ICI over the course of two decades. Through personal interviews and archived data, Andrew presented a compelling story of multiple organizational transformation elements and how political and historical forces shaped them. This contrasted with the management literature of the time that Andrew criticized as ahistorical, aprocessual, and acontextual, and that studies of transformation were often preoccupied with the intricacies of narrow changes rather than the holistic and dynamic analysis of changing. Moreover, Andrew charged that a large gap existed between common beliefs about the potency of leaders to effect transformational change and the lack of actual empirical evidence supporting those beliefs. The article introduced what some have called the Pettigrew Triangle of content, context, and process, with context being divided into outer and inner components. The purpose of the triangle was to explain how formulating the content of any new strategy inevitably entails managing its context and process, which analysis from the longitudinal study demonstrated. The article is credited with beginning a whole new stream of strategic management research based on large-scale longitudinal studies into the why, what, and how questions of management practice. In Andrew Pettigrew's follow-up article in 2012, also published in the Journal of Management Studies and available on our website, he commented on a number of other prominent management scholars who followed the same stream, such as Henry Mintzberg, who joined us back in episode 14, Andy Van de Ven, and Kathy Eisenhart. This stream of process scholarship that these scholars professed is what Pettigrew described as how-to knowledge, rather than what is knowledge. At the beginning of the episode, Demetrius asked about why Andrew wrote the piece and what the conversation was like at the time. Andrew replied that the environment was characterized by a changing business and policy scene in the United Kingdom. British industry and the public sector were both under tremendous stress at the time, and there was tremendous change ongoing, and thus it seemed like an important phenomenon to study. Andrew credits the tremendous access and support he received from ICI while conducting the research, which set new standards for case studies at the time. Over 8 years, Andrew conducted 175 interviews from 135 people, mainly senior members of the organization. It is easy to imagine how important it was to gain the trust of the corporate leadership and be allowed to observe the inner workings of the organization, so much so that he remarked to us during the podcast that he knew as much, if not more, about the organization than many of the managers. Moreover, ICI never tried to suppress the study, nor did they withhold their name from it. This provided greater credibility to the study when it was published, certainly more than if some abstract company name were to be added to it and the real company's name shielded. In addition to elaborating on the origins of the triangle, Andrew also presented some interesting takeaways from the research. One was the characterization of the changes that took place as episodes of disruptive change followed by periods of incremental adjustment. Disruptions were often tied to power structure changes in ICI, such as the transition to new leadership. This came with changing of ideas and alterations of the power systems enabled by changes in the outer context. Companies who underwent difficulties were more susceptible to such changing of ideas. Thus, the relationship between outer contextual change, along with changes in the political and cultural systems, contributed to a mosaic of politics which triggered change. The conversation would later move to the roles of leaders to monitor the internal and external contexts. While it seemed intuitively clear that leaders should do so, there was recognition that not all leaders could sustain full view of both external and internal contexts and must rely on other members of the top management team. As Andrew put it, organizational learning must become a broad-based activity, which means building a culture of learning that goes far beyond just that of the leadership and must function at the same pace as the change going on in the surrounding environment. Companies who fail to keep this pace clearly face potential problems. This led to further discussion about the capability of leadership to affect change. As stressed in the title of the article, context and action go together. But there was little written in the literature espousing a sort of contextual intelligence, which Andrew would describe as the ability to mobilize context and create a more receptive setting for the possibilities of different forms of action. Thus, mobilization of the context is a crucial political and tactical skill needed to deliver change. So leaders need not be heroic leaders, but need to surround themselves with people who are attuned to the environment, who can provide the necessary contextual information to aid decision-making, and who can help enable the leader's abilities to intervene at the right place and time. The latter part of the episode moved to discussions on constructing context. Examples presented included remote work, where people do not have face-to-face communication, whether it's individual nurses working across Australia or new types of global companies like Uber. Andrew asked, is the entrepreneur now the leader? This certainly would seem true, as the current global environment certainly favors the entrepreneur who can sidestep the constraints that societies today have been imposing. The discussion in episode 27 also delved into the challenges of modern scholarship. Andrew characterized his interest in phenomenon-driven research rather than the method-driven or theory-driven varieties pursued by other scholars. He cited mentors from the 1950s who were driven to write books on broad topics of practical interest rather than narrower scientific studies driven by equally narrow methods or theories. Thus, the type of longitudinal study of large phenomena characterized his development as a scholar. In doing the ICI study, which he did on his own, he learned the challenges of taking on such large projects solo. This would lead to his founding of the Center for Corporate Strategy and Change in 1985. He would tell us during the podcast that in order to study big things, you needed big teams. And teams are better suited to understanding complex phenomena because team members are able to challenge each other and uncover insights that an individual working alone might not identify or simply miss. Teams can also canvas the organization more easily and build deeper relationships, while also having far greater capacity to analyze and assess the massive volumes of data collected in longitudinal studies. Among doctoral students, he mentioned the challenge of death by data asphyxiation, whereby students become unable to see through all the data they have collected. For our listeners who happen to be doctoral students, consider yourself warned. Andrew also noted factors such as the role of time that distinguished his research from that of others of the 1980s. In the podcast, he stated that studies of corporate decision-making treated the phenomenon like a project, rather than as an event placed in the continuum of events. This exemplified his criticism of the field that it was ahistorical. He said that decisions have antecedents, and these antecedents are vital to understanding the decision having been made. Echoing the sentiments of Bill Starbuck in episode 24, Andrew lamented the evolution of organizational science literature that increasingly incentivizes narrow scholarship in competitive journals. He remarked how difficult it would be for research like the ICI study to be published today. And that's all for episode 27 on Context and Action in the Transformation of the Firm by Andrew Pettigrew. Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed this summary and found it to be valuable. Please get in touch with us via our website or our social media accounts and let us know what you thought of this summary and the podcast in general. We are always interested to hear from our listeners. Also, please share this podcast with your friends, colleagues, and students to get more people talking about organizations. We have three more episodes to go in Season 3 on classics from the Journal of Management Studies. Stay tuned next week when we begin yet another episode on another classic here on Talking About Organizations.